Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Matthew Brodsky. He is these days a senior analyst in Wikistrat's analytic community. He has held a number of other interesting and relevant posts, however, at the Jewish Policy Center, where he was, among other things, the editor of its journal, the In Focus Quarterly, and is always a welcome guest here. Matt Brodsky, welcome back. It's good to have you.
Good to be with you.
I wanted to catch up with you, Matt, because one of your areas of expertise, of course, is the Middle East. And there's a lot to plumb in terms of what he said, what was said to him, what is being said about it all. And I'm very grateful to you for taking a few minutes to do just that. Let me start maybe with the last stop in the Middle East trip, Israel, and we'll get to Saudi Arabia in a moment. But Matt, what did you make of the visit, the interactions the president had with his Israeli interlocutors, as well as with Mahmoud Abbas in the West Bank?
Well, from the Israeli perspective, coming off of 8 years of Obama, this must have been the first sip of water after a trek through the Negev Desert. To have him there to reestablish on strong footing the public image of a really strong relationship. So on that level, from the optics, it was great from an Israeli perspective. As far as concrete achievements, there wasn't a lot there that we know of yet. We don't know what was discussed private when it comes to settlement construction. We don't know if they went back to the 2004 Bush-Sharon letter, which specified essentially ways in which Israel could expand in some places and not in others, and it would avoid a entanglement between the U.S. government and Israel, and that was important then. But coming up with some parameters, that's an important deal. There are other things that weren't, that we don't know whether they were discussed, but from the level of optics, it was really important. From the Palestinian perspective, Trump had only spent an hour there in Bethlehem, and what was very interesting is a few hours earlier was when the Manchester attack happened. And so you have Trump standing next to Abbas, and President Trump makes his first comments out of the gate on condemning the terrorist attack. He calls the terrorists losers 4 times in less than a minute and half a minute. And it's got to be awkward for Abbas standing there, because essentially he's saying that Palestinian terrorists are also losers, standing in Bethlehem, where throughout the Palestinian Authority, there are squares and, of course, streets named after terrorists. So it was very interesting timing.
Well, and I wanted to ask you about that specifically, Matt, because as you know, when Mahmoud Abbas was in the Oval Office shortly before this trip, he made certain representations, particularly at the subsequent press conference, in which he said, basically, Mr. President, I assure you, we are raising our children in a culture of peace. So did you get the sense that there is now in the dynamic between President Trump and this putative partner for peace a degree of uncertainty, to put it charitably, as to the good faith of the Palestinians?
I do not. I think that that Trump and the administration, they're aware when they're being sold a pile of damaged goods, and that's what it is. There's nothing that's happening that indicates that the peace process would be any more successful now than it has been at any time in the past. So I think that could be a lot of wasted energy over there at a time where it's the centrality of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict has been receding for decades. And as far as U.S. interests are in the Middle East, that rate's fairly low compared to others.
Well, that brings me to the second question then about Saudi Arabia. The president, of course, visited there and met with the leaders of some 50 Arab or Sunni Muslim nations. Matt Brodsky, as you saw this, it seemed as though kind of a leitmotif of the president's appearance was sort of beginning anew a relationship with the Saudis and these other Muslim figures, in part, I think, with a view to making common cause against Iran, which creates an opportunity, of course, for a relationship with Israel that had been inconceivable for most of those Arab nations and many others besides. Is it working out that way, as you see it? Is there really now, with the diminishing, shall we say, of the Israeli-Palestinian difficulty, this opportunity that puts it into very much a lower degree of importance strategically as well?
Yeah, I think actually the president, in a speech that was very strong against Iran and was based refreshingly on a common interest, as opposed to during the last administration, it was supposed to be built on mutual respect. I think he missed an opportunity there to push the Arab world publicly toward bringing their relationship with Israel, above the table. I think that, yes, there is that relationship happening. I think it would be great if it could become more public. But certainly Israel and the Gulf states, the Sunni Arab world, are united against Iran. And this is the first time, really, that the president went ahead and laid out that vision of pushing back against Iran, whereas for up until this point, really what you've seen the concentration on from the Trump administration it's been on defeating ISIS. It's been on coming up with a alliance. Is it going to be Kurds? Is there anything that can happen with Turkey? Well, that doesn't look likely now. So it's nice to see that he's going to be trying to accomplish rolling back ISIS and rolling back Iran simultaneously so that one doesn't get strengthened at the expense of the other. So I suppose they're going to be working under the table, Israel and the Arab world, but it'd be nice to see that come to the fore more.
You spoke of optics in Israel. What were the optics like as seen by the Arab and other Muslim potentates there? Was it, in fact, the image of an America that is once again engaged and leading, as I think the administration very much wanted it to be? Or do you think that the Saudis took the measure of the man and felt that he was submitting in some respects to them, which is a very worrying thing indeed?
Well, from Trump's perspective, he went there and he decided to build no democracies, discuss no theologies, and make no apologies. So on one hand, he's not shoving democracy and shoving the American life or really promoting American values over there. But what he's doing is making a common cause based on common interests. So from Saudi Arabia's perspective overall, on optics and I think on substance, it looked to them as it did with Netanyahu when Trump went to Israel, which is to say we've been in a horrible situation for the past 8 years under the Obama administration, where he basically sidelined all traditional American allies. And this is a reaffirmation of working toward a common cause. And I think that was very well received. One can argue whether we should be promoting American interests abroad more so or less, but certainly the return of the United States in a leadership role in the Middle East was very much welcomed, and that was a very big strong point, I believe, of Trump's speech and his approach to the Middle East. Of course, I think he was a bit too effusive to the Saudi king. He spent the 90s giving millions and millions of dollars to madrasas in Pakistan from the well from which Al-Qaeda sprang.
Yeah,
right.
No, this is the concern I guess I have, is that there's a degree to which we're watching the whitewashing, if you will, of the Saudis that I think can come back to bite us big time. Matt Prosky, this is a subject which we will return with you, I hope, shortly. Thank you very much for joining us and, of course, for the work you're doing at Wikistrat and elsewhere. Keep it up, and we'll talk with you again very soon.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.